And it's a good thing that before the seven trumpets, we have the seven seals, because these seals are ministry to the saints. And then, of course, we come to, well, not one of the seven seals, but a particular marking of God's people on their foreheads with God's own name, which is referred to as a seal. And so this is a wonderful reassurance. Before the trumpets sound, before the judgments commence, the people of God are reassured that nothing is going to hurt them.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air to bring you the message of God's Word. And I trust that this series in the book of Revelation has stirred up your interest in the goodness and the provisions of God to His people. While to some the book of Revelation is fearful, yet to the saint it is a word of comfort. It fills us with reassurance. And as we learn here about those who are sealed unto that great day of Christ's appearing, then it brings peace to our souls that it is well with our soul. And I trust that today, that as you stay tuned with us, that the Lord will speak to your heart and bless you abundantly. Of course, at the end of the program, we'll give all the details concerning our ministry here from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and of our website, where you may join with us for our services on Sundays at 10:30 and 6 p.m. The website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and you can join us at 10:30 or 6 p.m. as we bring the Lord's Word week by week. So go to the website, check out the information there. You can also request literature, New Beginnings, and of course our church magazine, The Current. We also have Bible studies and other resources that will be of help to you in your Christian life. Or if you need to know the Lord and you need to be saved, look for the book called A New Beginning. Just go to our website, look at the search box, type in New Beginning, and that booklet will be a step-by-step guide on how to be saved, how to be sure you're saved, and how to live the Christian life after you're saved. And so thank you again for joining with us here in the program. Open your Bible with me, please, at Revelation chapter 7, as we look at the security of the saints.
Revelation chapter 7, one more time, as we come back to this sealing of the saints. The sealing of the saints. And tonight I'm going to read from verse 9 to the end. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. May the Lord write these wonderful words on every one of our hearts this evening. And I think we're going to learn a whole lot more about Christians, believers, reigning with the Lord in heaven over the world, over his creation. We will be restored to something of what Adam enjoyed when he was originally created and given dominion over the earth. Adam was God's vice regent. He was to reign over God's creation. And the church, the people of God, in that eternal state, will reign with Christ over the nations. And this will be a tremendous reward and participation with our Lord Jesus. We are promised that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's in the book of Romans. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now, back in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, you'll notice that when they get these palms in their hands and cried with a loud voice, saying, what do they sing? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto our Lamb. They cry with a loud voice, holding these palms in their hands, as victors, as champions, as overcomers through the blood of Christ, through the word of their testimony and the word of God. And they sing salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne. And of course, we have this hymn, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. And this ought to be the happiest meeting in all of the world tonight, because we are the redeemed who are given this position and given this co-regency with the Lord Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we see it now coming to fulfillment, coming to its full fruition, and we enjoy reigning with Christ in glory. We move now to verse 10 through 12, and we see the worship of the sealed. See the song leaders again. The song leaders, as we have noted already, are the four living creatures described here in our version of the Bible as beasts. Not particularly helpful, because when we hear of beasts, we think of the zoo, we think of wild, woeful creatures. But these are the prime cherubim, glorified angels, and they are leading the praise. And we are told here in verse 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Notice the reverence. Notice the obeisance that is paid. There is no pride here. All glory, all homage, all honor is to the Lord. And they burst into song. And if you really study verse 12, It is a series of attributes, God's attributes, the attributes of God. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might. All of these things are the characteristics of God's nature. And we are to sing and praise God in our worship, praising God for who He is. That ought to be the maximum amount of our time and energy in worship. Just rehearsing who God is. Just telling it over and over in our praises, in our thanksgiving, that God is the God who He is. He's a God of blessing. Has He not blessed us? Do we not rise every morning to new blessings? As Christians, do we not have covenant blessings, eternal blessings? Glory, that belongs to God alone. We can give honor to man and give him due acknowledgement for his achievements, but we can never glorify man. That belongs to God alone. Wisdom. This is one of the strong characteristics of our God. He's a God of wisdom. If He was not a God of wisdom, could we worship Him? Can you follow a fool? Can you follow someone who's inconsistent, who doesn't have a plan, who doesn't know what he's doing? We worship God because we trust in His wisdom, just as a child might do to his mother or father. And there are times when mom and dad calls us to follow along and the child has no idea where we're going, no idea where this is going to end up, but you trust your mom and dad. You trust. And we as Christians trust the wisdom of God. And when we get to the end of life's journey and tell the story, we will praise the Lord for the wisdom of all the way that He led us. He makes no mistakes. He does not have a plan B. He does not do U-turns. God's way is perfect. And that is a part of our worship. Then we come to power and might. And these in the Greek language are different types of authority versus physical might. And this is God. We worship God because of His power and His accomplishments. The word might has more to do with God's accomplishments. A perfect creation. The human body. What an amazing feat of creation. The seasons of the year, the universe, the galaxies, the earth turning on its axis, giving us summer and winter. This is God's power demonstrated continually. Now, you will notice something in verse 10, that this worship is equally offered to God the Father and to the Lamb. It says, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. This worship is not deserving to one over the other. They are both God. They are both creators. They are both wise, both powerful, both divine. Tell that to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Tell that to the liberals and the modernists. Tell that to those who deny the authority of Christ in His church. Worship is ascribed to the God of heaven and to the Lamb. And these saints in glory, they are filled with assurance of the worship that is ascribed to each of them. Now we come to the very last one. Believe it or not, before 7 p.m., we're at point number 7. How did we do it? Point number 7, verses 15 through 17. the wonder of the eternal state. And again, we have this therefore, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. Now, just a few things I want to point out. It says, he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. There's no loneliness in heaven. There is no loneliness. One of the strangest things here on earth, you can live in a major city with its apartment dwellings and condos, and you can be in a little tiny place all alone, left out, feeling left out. In heaven, there are no hiding places. There are no lonely spots. There is wonderful communion and fellowship because he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now, in margin of my Bible, it says this, or shall spread his tabernacle over them. What a wonderful thought. And as in the Old Testament in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire came down into the midst of the camp, and the Lord's Shekinah glory came down upon the tabernacle, the altar, the table with the cherubim. Right in that Holy of Holies, God was in the house. His glory was there. Heaven will never be lonely. There will be no loneliness. There will be no want in heaven. I read here in verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. This world is a place where, is anyone ever really satisfied? Is ever anyone fully fulfilled? There is in every human heart, since the fall, since the curse came into the world, a dissatisfaction, a restlessness, an uneasiness, and it sometimes manifests itself in rebellion against God, in murmuring against God, in a sense of why, questioning God. But in heaven, look at verse 17, there's no want, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Or, as my margin of my Bible says, shall shepherd them. And you have a Psalm 23 picture. Just as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He shall make me to lie down in green pastures and lead me by beside still waters. There is the good shepherd ministering, leading, and feeding his own people. He shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And in the Bible, water is always the epitome of satisfaction. Jesus told the woman at the well, I will give thee water of which if you drink, you will never thirst again. And in heaven, that will be a reality for every child of God. There will be full satisfaction, no more restlessness. There will be perfect, perfect ministry to the heart and to the soul. So there will be no loneliness, no want. And then I see in verse 17 that there will be no sorrow in heaven. It tells us, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a different world. No hospitals, no morgues, no funeral homes, no cemeteries, no places of pain, no places of defeat. It will be a world of no tears. How do we define happiness? The world defines it with the pleasures of this world. And they have to dream up entertainment. They have to dream up ways to satisfy or gratify the debased, depraved nature of man. Feed the flesh. And that's the way the world tries to make people happy. Feed the flesh. Gratify their lusts. But in heaven, happiness is holiness. And when we are made perfectly holy, as God is holy, then we shall know perfect happiness. Have you ever witnessed a Christian with such a deep, wonderful experience of holy living? Just multiply that a million times, and you might have the picture of the saint in heaven, where they are dwelling in perfection, in satisfaction, in holiness. The Lord tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, that ought to be the goal of every Christian here, but we lament every time we get on our knees to pray, "Lord, I feel my sin, I feel my depravity, I feel the lust of the flesh, I feel the world around me, I feel the coldness of my heart." In heaven, there will be such a holy contentment that will lead us to a continual joy and thrill. The psalmist said that at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was pure joy. It was such joy to their souls. We read of Christians in times of revival when they had to say, "Lord, no more. I can't take any more." The body was not fit for the blessing. But in heaven, we will have perfect bodies. There will be no carnal nature. There will be no lust. There will be no avenues of temptation. It will be pure holiness in us and around us. And we will praise the Lord. That's the eternal state. And chapters 4 to 7 leads us right up to that eternal state. And God could close the book right here and say no more, and we would have the grand picture of the climax, the fulfillment of redemption, of Calvary, and of the pilgrimage of the Christian to glory, ending right at chapter 7. But God is pleased to now switch theme and goes back to put a new layer of information upon what's already laid. And that's what you have in Revelation. Layers upon layers upon layers of more details of information. But it's the same ground. It's the same time frame, because this is the eternal state. This is glory here in chapter 7, 17. This is not chronological in that there's more time in the chapters. No, it's going back, covering the same area. And when we get into chapter 8, we're going to read about the silence for half an hour, preparation for judgment, and how the wicked are going to be dealt with. So that's ahead of us as we look at this book.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you have enjoyed this message on the security of the saints in heaven. Heaven, what a delightful place it will be. And as we look around and see the brokenness of humanity, how troubled men and women are, their hearts failing them because of the problems and the cares of life, heaven is a place where we will be totally free of all earthly care. There will be no hunger, no thirst. There will be no scraping and scrambling for food. There will be no need to fear with anxiety about financial burdens. It will be a place where we are provided for totally and absolutely. And I want to invite you to prepare for that home which is in heaven. You need to be saved. The book of Amos says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." And preparation is required. You need to renounce your sin. You need to come to Jesus as the door, the way into heaven. You need to plead his cleansing power and his saving power. You need to come as a sinner to Jesus, praying to be brought into the kingdom by the power of the gospel. And the many promises that are given encourage you to do this. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Lord bids you to come. You're given a warrant to come. You are exhorted and commanded to come. Indeed, it's disobedience not to believe and to trust in the Savior who has died for you that you might be in heaven. Think of the day when you will enter into that eternity. Will it be to the kingdom of darkness, or will it be into the kingdom of light and home? For the Christian, absolutely, it will be home. It will be rest in Christ. But for the unconverted, the one who has made no preparation to enter into heaven, without faith, without salvation, you will be lost. You will open your eyes in torments. Indeed, in this book of Revelation, we will learn of the torment of the wicked, who day and night have no peace and no hope. There is no repentance even. Yet now you are living in the day of grace, when you can be saved. So I beg you to give your heart to the Savior, to trust in the Lord Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, and settle the matter today. Don't put it off, but come this day as a sinner to Jesus, and he will save your soul. And again, if I can be of personal help, I will be glad to do so. Just give me a call or send me an email. All the announcements are now coming up. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.